What higher crime could they have committed against the United States? And you are essentially telling them, that's all right. Just take the oath and we're going to forget that you committed treason against the American nation and against the American flag. They should be punished more severely. There should be large confiscations of property. There should be severe and long-term political disabilities. That's what we need to be thinking about, not this plan that the president has offered. The radicals, in short, would fight for a better deal for the freed people and a much harsher deal, especially for the slave-owning class of the Confederacy, for all rebels, but especially for the slave-owning class who supported the Confederacy. Whereas Lincoln preeminently sought restoration of the Union, without slavery, of course, rather than a revolution, the radicals had no desire to avoid inflicting pain on the South and indeed sought to remake the Confederate States. Wendell Phillips, an abolitionist and radical Republican, whom I've quoted before, put it this way: "The whole social system of the Gulf states must be taken to pieces. This is primarily a social revolution. The war can only be ended by annihilating the oligarchy which formed and rules the South." Thaddeus Stevens agreed, declaring that Reconstruction, and I'll quote him here, "must revolutionize Southern institutions, habits, and manners. The foundations of their institutions must be broken up and relaid, or all our blood and treasure have been spent in vain." Many Union military men in the South agreed with Phillips's and Stevens's view, as did a fair proportion of the Northern population. Probably not a majority, but certainly a fair proportion. Others lined up with Lincoln and counseled against too severe an approach. Nathaniel Prentice Banks was among the latter. There he is down in Louisiana in command of one of the key areas where Lincoln's plan might conceivably be put into place. He warned, quote, "that the history of the world shows that revolutions which are not controlled and held within reasonable limits produce counter-revolutions." In other words, Banks feared that the harsh measures that radical Republicans favored might call forth an extreme reaction from white Southerners, a bitter response that would in effect extend the period of conflict rather than bringing it to a quick end, as Lincoln hoped, or at least a quicker end, as Lincoln hoped. And in fact, post-war Reconstruction, with the Ku Klux Klan, the rifle clubs, and other evidences of violent groups of ex-Confederates, suggest that Banks's ideas certainly were not all wrong. There is a point at which imposing a very harsh settlement only stiffens resistance. Well, the different wings of the Republican Party debated and argued the questions relating to Reconstruction for the rest of the war. A critical and increasingly important aspect of the debate centered on the question of exactly who should control the process: the president through executive decisions or Congress through legislation. Presidential or congressional Reconstruction, which kind are we going to have? Lincoln argued that the Union was indissoluble. Now, again, we've seen Lincoln argue this both ways. He argued it depending on what his needs were. If he's imposing a blockade, then he's at least tacitly accepting the existence of a Confederate nation. But here he is arguing that the Union was indissoluble, that the Southern states could not legally leave the Union and had not left the Union. Thus, Reconstruction was merely a process whereby loyal citizens in these states would reassert or regain control. Most Republicans opposed Lincoln's wish to allow rebels to come back into the Union merely by taking a loyalty oath. They wanted Reconstruction in the Southern states in the hands of men who had been Unionists all along. Radicals also wanted to guarantee the freedom and civil rights of black people in the South by forcing the Southern states to accept a range of conditions, a much larger list of conditions than Abraham Lincoln had put forward. Not only larger, but also harsher. To accomplish this, Congress would have to interfere with the constitutional rights of the states. They understood that. If the states have never left the Union, that was going to be a terrible problem. You can't, if they're still in the Union, the Constitution still applies, and you can't do whatever you want. You don't have carte blanche to remake these states. Well, the radicals came up with several ways to get around that inconvenient problem of the Constitution.